Carolyn, I find it interesting that the Gospels are so filled with women.
Hmm.
Would that be a typical type of literature in a movement person in the history of other, like, you know, the conquests of this leader? Do they have all these stories about the role of women in other sort of ancient heroes? I find it fascinating that they're here. They have a role. They support their patrons. Is that a common thing?
Well, not so much in what you were saying of conquerors, etc., but in the lives of philosophers more.
Interesting.
Yeah, and many have tried to characterize the Gospels as really in that literary genre of lives of philosophers. And because we do have women patrons, and women teachers, women philosophers in some of the philosophic traditions.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now back to Mary Magdalene. Why do you feel like she was made into such a superstar of, at times, juicy proportion, or, you know, somebody who would lead a group or be part of a group to France? Or why do you think she was the one, in your mind? Because there's a lot of women there,
mm-hmm.
but it just sort of, she developed as the one that everybody made into the superstar woman.
Well, I would be tempted to say that it is a male attraction to sexuality.
Okay.
Yeah, that she's someone with whom you can play with this issue of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And she's enticing. You know, she's
yes.
enticing, but off limits.
Right. And it's fascinating. Now, but this concept that she was older.
Mm-hmm.
Is
you know, the older I get, the older Mary Magdalene gets in my imagination.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. You know, in the story, too, of women like Susanna and others, talk about patronage just a little bit as we kind of wrap up this section.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating to me that really women were donors, mm-hmm. supporters mm-hmm. of the ministry of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They got engaged and they participated in that.
Well, they still are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, back then, that always sort of surprises me mm. that they supported Jesus out of their own funds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how would they have supported him?
With money. You know.
Yeah, like, okay, money, like his
yeah,
ministry.
Yeah. You know, there's one author I particularly like. Her name is Renita Weems, who wrote, sort of paraphrases on some of these stories. And she has a paraphrase on the dinner of Jesus with Martha and Mary.
Okay.
And when Martha speaks, remember that Mary is at Jesus' feet and Martha's working in the kitchen, presumably.
Okay.
I mean, there are other
right.
ways to interpret that. But she has Martha speak and say, you know, I wouldn't have had to ask for help if he hadn't brought 12 friends along.
Okay.
So, you know, how do these people eat? You have to, they have to beg their food, or they have somebody, they have a wealthy patron who puts out the money for it.
Mm-hmm. One last question. When Jesus has a relationship with the women in his life, and that you see it so respectful, is there a place where Jesus was politically incorrect as you look back at, you know, or maybe written about politically incorrect? Or isn't it amazing that he wasn't written politically incorrect in that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find that fascinating.
Yeah. Well, there is this scene with the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. That is it's exaggerated in Matthew. If you compare Mark's version and Matthew's, because Matthew's motif during the lifetime, the ministry of Jesus, is that he's only for Israel. I have only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, he says
okay.
it twice. And here's this Canaanite woman who's not part of the house of Israel, and they're up north anyway. You know, out of Israelite territory, and he refuses her at first. You know, I'm not for you. I'm for the.
Right.
I'm only for these people. And what's exaggerated in Matthew is that she keeps going, and the disciples say to him, "Get rid of her. She's bothering us."
Right.
You know? And that's when he turns to her and says, "What do you want?" And she says, well, you know, she outsmarts him is what's right. really going on in this story.
Okay.
She has a better answer than he does. And he realizes he's bested in the argument and does what she wants. So that would be maybe
that's
an
interesting. Okay. Now you reminded me of actually another kind of thought. Okay, it's that story of the woman caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's always yes, it always fascinated me that it's ultimately he's trying to be tricked by the Pharisees to you know, what do you think that scene looked like?
Well, the anomaly, first of all, is that the passages about stoning for adultery say stone both of them, the man and the woman, not just the woman.
Right.
There's no man there.
Right.
There's no man who's been accused, and so it's only the woman. So that's odd, first of all, and it is one of those tests of honor and cleverness. You know, who's going to win in this verbal sparring?
Right.
And what Jesus does is as one person says, whenever Jesus is confronted with a dilemma, he never solves it on the horns of the dilemma. He always chooses a third option.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's another example of Jesus not being willing to condemn a person. A woman particularly, but he's got to get out of this situation somehow too.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's really what it's in it for him, and he manages to do that.
I guess I have one more question, and I promise it's my last one. Do you think that Jesus would have been considered by, like, outside critics of him, whether it was Pharisees or others, as being someone who was too pro- the role of women in society? He had so many in his life. Would that have been not normal? Would he have been criticized for how he treated women with respect by some in his culture?
Maybe. The thing that comes out in the Gospels is not about women, but about sinners.
Right.
That he welcomes sinners. And of course, the woman in Luke 7 is
yeah.
one of them. It certainly was... I guess I would say unusual, but not that unusual, that he would be really roundly criticized for that. But it's the way in which he just seems to have accepted anybody.
Right.
And as some have pointed out, didn't require conversion. He just took them as they were.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. So our Lord, in this teaching you gave, has a generous spirit for anybody,
mm-hmm.
men or women.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's really the material point.
Yes,
this is a class on women, yeah. so we have to not get unbalanced.
That's right. He doesn't discriminate against women in this case.
Right.
You know, in any case. Yeah.
Right. And he loves and he mobilizes them. And I did feel that I never really thought of Mary Magdalene as an apostle, but yeah. you're right.
Mm-hmm.
She.
It's the earliest tradition about her.
Yeah, she saw the resurrected Jesus, and she went there.
And he says, go and tell my disciples. She's commissioned by the risen Jesus to do that.
Hmm. The implications of that for women today, for mm-hmm. you, go and tell the world that mm-hmm. Jesus is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.